Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. I bring greetings from the Myerstown congregation, and I think this is my second time coming up here to deliver a message, and find it a joy to come up to faces I know and visitors that some of you I recognize. So it's good to be gathered here this morning. My question is, do you love Jesus? We just sang that song, "Oh, the deep, deep love of Christ," right? And because of that love, we're exported up to glory, is something how that last verse went. Why are you here this morning? Are you here just because you're visiting family and church to visit? Are you here, this is my church to attend? I'm here just because I was asked to preach this morning. Got to come up, make the hour trek north through the snow. No, I'm here because I love Jesus. And I trust that's your heart's desire this morning. Let's sing that verse, the song, "Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove." Sing the first verse of that. "Come Gracious Spirit, Heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above. Be thou art guardian, thou art guide, o'er every thought. And step reside." That's my prayer this morning, that the Spirit would be here. And I trust that you can see Jesus through the message this morning. I've brought something along with me this morning. Can anybody tell me what I have?
Scale.
A scale. Specifically, a double pan balance scale. Now, what do you use this for? Do we use this anymore? Or do we use scales like this? Electronic scales. So this scale is very seldom used anymore. And it's only good for the weights that are on one side. Before they had all the electronic gadgets of today, they had a scale something like this. And they would put a 1 pound block on one side, and that's how they measured out 1 pound of rice, or 1 pound of bread, and so on. A balance scale. What you put on one side tells you how much to put on the other side to keep it balanced. A balance scale. And the scale is only accurate as its smallest weights. If I want to get you something that's 1 pound and 6 ounces, but I only have 1 pound blocks, I'm not going to be able to get, I might be able to guess and get you close, but I'm not going to get you exactly. It's only good for its smallest weights. This morning we're going to talk about balance. Once there was a farmer who sold a pound of butter to a baker. And one day the baker decided to weigh this butter to see if it was actually a pound. So he went and weighed it, and it was not a pound. So he took the farmer to the judge, to the court, and he said, "This farmer did not give me my pound of butter." So the judge looked at the farmer and said, "Excuse me, farmer, how do you measure the butter that you give?" Your Honor, I'm very primitive. I don't have the proper measure, but I do have a scale similar to this." The judge asked, "Well, how do you weigh the butter then?" "Oh, that's easy. Long before the baker started buying butter from me, I bought a pound of bread from the baker. So simply when he came for a pound of butter, I put his loaf on one side and I gave him that amount of butter on the other. That's a pound. If anyone's to be blamed, it's the baker." He was caught. You see, something was not balanced. And the baker was looking at the farmer and judging him for his imbalance that he saw. But he was imbalanced himself. He was not giving what he said he did. Balance is something that I've been trying to work at in my life. Many years ago, when I was a young teenager, full of aspirations and energy, I came out of high school ready to conquer the world. And I signed up for a term at Bible school, 6 weeks. Committed myself to Bible study. And I was excited to learn what God has for me and for my life. And I had to travel about 2 hours, stayed at the Bible school for 6 weeks. But about every weekend, I tried to come back to be involved in something at home. I got to be there. I had to play at ball game Friday nights or youth activity or family, this. So I wasn't very committed to the Bible school. Well, towards the end of that 6 weeks, there at the Bible school, they have a dean of men who kind of give oversight to all the young enthusiasm and energy that's going on. And I look to them to speak into my life on a path going forward. And I was pretty excited because I had energy, I was ready to go. And as I was talking to them, they gave me advice, some life questions I had. Got close to the end of the 6 weeks and they pulled me aside and said, "Zach, you need something. You need balance." I wasn't expecting to hear that. I thought I'm supposed to give everything I got for the kingdom. Radical, right? Zach, no, you need balance. Christian life needs to be balanced. And I've been thinking on that ever since. And that's something I realize I need is balance. Sometimes I look at people who are quieter. And they're just stable. If you know my father-in-law, Dennis, he is stable. He takes a while. He thinks through his things. He does them right. Sometimes I look at that, and, oh, why can't I be more like that? I tend to be a little rash in my decision-making and jumping the gun. Well, we need everybody, right? But I need to look at that and learn from his qualities. I learned the other day that when people say, "hold your horses," they mean be stable. Maybe there's a little pun in there. But take time. Think it through. Be stable. Balance is what I want to talk about this morning. And as I think about this, do you all agree we all want balance? We need a balanced approach to life. Matt referred to it. We're all here for a specific purpose, but yet it is hard to navigate the times that we're in. We need balance. There's opposite ends of the spectrum. We talk of needing balance in work and family. How do we balance that? As my family grows, I'm starting to ask those questions. Church, events, how do we balance all that? Busy time and free time. We're in a society where we're busy, busy, busy. So we need some free time here and there, right? How do we balance that? So this morning, I have an answer. Not a one size fits all. But I want us to think about something this morning as we look at balance. I want us to see the need for balance. I think we can all see that. So we remember, here's going to be our takeaway, that our response matters most. As we look at balance, I want us to remember that our response to many situations is what matters most. What does the Bible say about balance? Does the Bible say anything about balance? Is balance in the Bible? Turn with me to Proverbs 16:11, is where I'm going to take my text verse as a springboard into the message this morning. Proverbs 16:11 says, "A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are His work." What is God saying? And now here we tend to pull out a verse, and I find Proverbs to be very intriguing as Solomon is just wisdom after wisdom, saying after saying, and so we're pulling this out here. "A just weight and balance are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are His work." It's in the context of the beginning of chapter 16 is a man wants to choose the way, but God is the one who orchestrates everything. And then the verses surrounding this one are talking about a king and giving analogies to a judge, making a decision, a divine sentence is used in verse 10. God requires, God wants a just weight. Something that brings justice. And only His weight will bring perfect balance. All the weights are in His bag. They're His work. The Lord sets the standard for fairness. We tend to look at things and we like to decipher what is the perfect balance. But the perfect balance comes from God. It's His weights that we need to put on the balance scale to balance it out. What is balance? Too many times we swing the pendulum or shift the weights the other way to counteract the imbalance. If we see imbalance, we want to throw something on the other side to balance it out. But too often, we bring about another imbalance because we react. And when we bring Jesus' balance, we can often balance it out. When we throw on our own weights, we quickly throw it off balance. Turn with me to another verse, Leviticus 19:36. We're setting the stage for what does the Bible say about balance? In Leviticus, we know that Leviticus is a book of the law. God is revealing to Moses what He wanted the children of Israel to do. And He's going through all these things that are forbidden, the way they're supposed to make sacrifices. And in Leviticus 19, verse 36, He's getting through all of this and He's nearing the end of this particular section of rules, of laws, of things He wants the Israelites to do. He says, "Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." So He gets through specifically saying what He wants the Israelites to do. And He says, okay, now I want you to be just. I want you to have balance through all of this, I think is what He's trying to say. And here He's showing the human tendency of extremes. Humans tend to respond with extremes when they see something. They want to react. And He's saying, I want balance. And that's only going to come from Me. Proverbs 11:1 says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." He wants to see balance in our lives. He recognizes human tendency to quickly get off balance. AJ, could you come up here and help me a second? So, AJ, we're going to imagine that you did some work for me yesterday, right? And I said I'm going to give you half a pound of gold. Okay. So let's say this resembles a half a pound. All right. And I have some gold here. We're going to imagine this is gold. This is not real gold, I'm sorry to say. And so I'm going to put this here just to make sure we can catch all the coins here. And when this balances out, you can have these. All right. This will be your half a pound of gold. So I'm going to put this in here. Not quite balanced yet. Put in a couple more. Getting close. Do we need to put one more in? You good with that? Sure. All right. Okay. I pulled it down a little bit. Well, the scale has to. I have to adjust it a little bit. Okay. You good with that though? Okay. You good? Oh, see, now it went down. I didn't touch it. Take some out. Oh, get this centered up. See, I'm still getting used to using a balance scale. That look even to you? Is it sitting tight? I won't touch it. Okay, yeah, good. All right, here's your coins. Here's your half a pound. There you go. Thank you. Does that seem fair to you?
Yes.
You guess? Okay. What didn't seem fair? So beyond me adjusting it a little bit, I had to help it out. It's not perfectly balanced scale, but anything else you see wrong?
This was something.
Ah. Aha, you weren't supposed to catch that. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seat. Put that in your piggy bank. You see, he caught on. This dish weighs something. I should have counteracted for that, or I could have just put the coins right on the pan. You see, the human tendency is to try to make it balance out the way we want it to balance out. And that's what God is pointing to. That's an abomination. We need to let. Now, if you will see me adjusting this pan a little bit. I'm still working at getting this thing perfectly balanced, but for the sake of illustration. To keep it balanced, to be fair, we need to come to Jesus and allow His weight to balance it out. Not putting on our jar to counteract it a little bit, so I don't have to quite give Him a half a pound. That's an abomination. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? A man who's shifting from one side to the next, right? Jesus wants a stability. And when we talk about balance, so we looked a little bit at what the Bible says about balance, jumping back and forth. Balance is how we respond to something. The different things that come up in life, the challenges, balancing material possessions and giving everything we have, balancing family and work. It's a response to that, the imbalances that we see. Let's say I walked up to Dale and slapped him. His human response is going to be to slap me back, right? That would bring justice. You would kind of be on his side. Well, he slapped him. Yeah, sure, slap him back. Dale's a little right in responding that way. That's justice. When people respond wrongly, they're often a little right. Now, if you're looking at it from the biblical context, Dale should have turned the other cheek, right? That's Jesus' response. But yet, Jesus requires justice, not. So shouldn't He act in the place of God and slap me back to bring that justice? You see, when somebody is wrong, when they respond wrongly, when they respond in anger to you, often they're a little right. Because they've been wrong, or something didn't go right for them before. And so they're acting out of that, but they're acting out of an imbalance. They've been treated with an imbalance, and so they quickly try to react with a balance, but it's actually an imbalance. That will then affect my response to Dale. Ah, the reason he slapped me back is because I slapped him. How can I help him see that Jesus asked to turn the cheek instead of slapping back? And I can help him through that. Instead of judging him, us Christians back, oh, why did he slap back? You're supposed to be non-resistant. There's a reason to respond that way. Balance. That's what the Bible says about balance. Let's look at some stories. We like stories, right? Children, Moses. You remember the story of Moses? Okay. He grew up where? Egypt, right on. In whose house? His dad's house? Who? Remember. Who's the king of Egypt? Pharaoh. Remember he grew up in Pharaoh's house? Pharaoh's daughter found him. He grew up in Pharaoh's house. When he got old, he went out and he saw his fellow kinsmen, the Israelites. And his heart was drawn towards them because that was his people. And one day he went out and he saw an Egyptian. What? What was an Egyptian doing to his Hebrew? Fellow Hebrew. Yeah, beating him up. Fighting him. How does he respond? Here's a moment where he saw something that was unjust. He responded and he killed the Egyptian. That's justice. He responded. He saw an imbalance. His fellow Hebrew was being treated with imbalance. So he responded the other way. Next day he comes out. His fellow Hebrew sees him and says, oh, you're going to kill me like you did the Egyptian. And then he realized that the word had gotten out. Then Pharaoh heard about it. And what did Moses have to do? Run for his life. He reacted in the moment with imbalance. And a result of that was him running. Now, let's go forward Turn to Numbers 16. We're going to again jump to Moses. Numbers 16, we have Moses leading the Israelites through the desert. They had just complained they were destined to wander 40 years in the wilderness. Korah comes up to him and says, "Hey, Moses, who do you think you are? Who gave you the power to lead us? You're no good." Was that a right response of Korah? No. He was going against authority that God had put in place. What should Moses have done? Should he killed him like he did the Egyptian when he saw the imbalance? He could have shut down the rebellion. That would have been one way to respond to the imbalance. What did Moses do? He cried. He falls on his face. He says, "Why do you do this? All right, tomorrow, bring your censers. Let's let God decide." It's almost like he stopped and said, "Hey, let's count to 10. Let's let God decide tomorrow. There's an imbalance." The next day comes, and all the Israelites are gathered there. Korah is there with his congregation, the people who sided with him. And the Lord said, "I'm going to smite them all." Oh, was now the Lord a little rash in his response? And Moses says, whoa, why should all the congregation of people suffer for one man's rebellion? The tide's changed. Moses is looking at it with balance. What happened? He saw the Egyptian killing the Hebrew. He reacted. Now he learned his lesson. And he says, "Well, should that be the case? Should everybody be punished?" And God says, "Okay, you're right." He says, "All right, separate yourselves. Korah's people on one side, Moses' people on the other." And you know the story. The ground swallowed Korah and all his congregation up. Justice was served, but with God's weights. Moses stepped back. We're looking at stories of balance and imbalance. We all know the story of Mary and Martha. Common one. We often go here to see the balance between sitting at the feet of Jesus and serving others. Who was right, Mary or Martha? They both were right. In that case, Martha came and she saw Mary's imbalance of just sitting at the feet of Jesus and not seeing the needs of those around her. But Martha was in the wrong with trying to ask Mary to go to the needs of the people, when the right thing for her to do was sit at the feet of Jesus. We're looking at our response of balance or imbalance. The Pharisees in Matthew 12, when Jesus was walking through a cornfield on the Sabbath, what did he do? His disciples started eating. The law said, "You shouldn't eat on the Sabbath." They reacted because they wanted to see Jesus' response. Jesus says, "Well, David went in the temple and ate. Your priests defile the temple on the Sabbath. Calm down. Let's have a balanced approach." Another one that jumps out to me is David. How did David respond with balance when he could have got a group of people beside him to go against Saul? Remember, David was anointed king. But he had to wait. Saul didn't like him. And he responded with balance and respect, saying, "Saul, you are still the leader." And even when he had a chance to kill Saul, he did not. And he felt sorry for so much as cutting off the robe of Saul. And then we just read about Absalom in our Sunday school lesson, how Absalom comes along and tries to usurp his authority. How does David respond to that? Does David respond with imbalance? When Absalom was trying to take over the throne, David still responded with respect to Absalom. And he let God work out the justice. And in the end, David was still king. The woman caught in adultery. Here we have our response, our balance towards sin. The Pharisees came dragging the lady caught in adultery to Jesus in the temple. And what does he do? He kneels down and he takes a time out. Almost like he's counting to 10. The Pharisees were ready to stone her. He stands up and he says, those of you who don't have a sin, go ahead, pick up a stone and stone her. He responded with balance, and then he said, this is the key. He said, woman, you're forgiven. That's grace. But there's truth. Don't sin anymore. There's a balance of grace and truth. And that's what we see in Jesus, the balance between grace and truth. Frank Reed said that humans are typically out of balance. They tend towards all love or all truth. Those stories that we just talked about, some were balanced, some were focused more on truth. They wanted to see the law carried out. Sometimes we're too focused on love, and we forget that truth comes along with it. Proverbs 16 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. How is injustice taken care of? By mercy, by grace and truth. And who fulfilled that? Jesus. In John 1:14, it says, he was full of grace and truth. You see, I think Jesus' balances are two things. Truth needs to be balanced out with grace. Jesus exemplified that in his life. There needs to be mercy. There needs to be grace. But there also needs to be truth. We can't do away with all truth. And this was Jesus' way of exemplifying balance. And if you know what a pendulum is, a pendulum is something that hangs from a center point and swings. Imagine a grandfather clock. You know, the pendulum swinging back and forth. Imagine if we had a pendulum tied to this bar. It's balanced. Pendulum's hanging down. I would take that pendulum and swing it to one side. What's going to happen? It's going to swing back. Grace, truth. Grace and truth. If it's imbalanced, if we have all love, all mercy, yes, whatever goes, God is a forgiver, it's going to lean towards the grace. If we say it's all truth, it's all about the law, the pendulum is going to lean towards the truth, the law side. But when it's perfectly balanced out, that's when the pendulum can swing back and forth. Job, at the end of his conversation with his friends, said, let me be weighed in a just balance, and let God know my integrity. If we were to be placed on a balance scale, where would you balance at? Do you tend towards one side, towards the other? Do we react? Or do we stop and ask God, what's grace and truth? Should I respond with truth? Should I respond with grace? How can I respond with a mixture of the two? Balance, I think, is all about a response to the imbalances that we see in life. Our human tendency is to overreact. What are some areas of imbalance? As I looked at my life, areas of imbalance in culture today that are prevalent. Between justice and mercy. When do we ask for justice? Or when do we show mercy? There's a lot of different court cases going on right now that we can get caught up in. Which side do we choose? Do we choose the law, the truth? Or do we choose the grace, the mercy? We don't know the circumstances. Do we respond with a balanced perspective? When there's human errors or problems, do we focus on the people or do we focus on the problem? So many times when somebody does something or we see a problem, we tend to start looking at them, looking at the person. And
belittling them? Or do we look at the problem? A balanced reproach understands that there's probably a reason they're responding the way they are, and respond with grace and truth. Remember, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You heard the saying, stop and count to 10, or count to 5, whatever it is, when you need to respond to something. So imagine, pick up two hands. Everybody do that for me. Get a little going on. Count to 10. So, count through, 6, 7. Oh, you're on your second hand, right? 10. Now what do we have? Two hands, right? What am I resembling? As that saying hit me, I started counting to 10. I said, now I want to incorporate this more. When I stop and count to 10, I now have a balance scale. And I want it to remind me, grace and truth, how am I responding to different situations?
How am I looking at the problems that come up? Am I looking at the person or am I looking at the problem? Another way, a place of imbalance, can be in Bible study. Sometimes I like to pull out a verse, and sometimes I find this a struggle in preaching. I have something I want to preach on, and so I go try to find a verse to prove my point. That's dangerous. When we're studying the Bible, we need to look at it with a balanced perspective. Understand the context. What is Scripture really trying to say? And that should prod us into a lifestyle of trying to learn everything we can, not pulling out verses to prove our point or our opinion. The same way a judge tries to decipher two sides of the story. Another place of imbalance, and these are things I learned. These are things I've been working at. Of balance in my life is critique. When somebody comes up to you and says, Matt, I really think you should work at this. My response is to tend to justify myself. But it's not that bad, or this is the reason I'm doing it. That's not the response. Critique should be, you're right. I should think about that. And then go home and count to 10. Am I balanced? Do I need to work at it? Is there truth into what the person is saying? Don't respond with jumping to the opposite side. If Matt says, I need more love towards others, I'm like, no, we need truth. And I quickly bring it off balance. We need both. How about balance in undesirable request? This past year and a half has been interesting. And when we're asked to do things we don't want to do, how do we respond? We need to go to the Scripture. And we need to have a balanced perspective. Am I being asked to do something just because I don't want to? Or am I being asked to do something that the Bible says is wrong? Sometimes when people ask us to do things, we say, no, because we have a personal opinion, or we just don't want to. Or do we have biblical context for our reason for saying no? There's two ditches. Another way of imbalance is material possessions, or busyness and rest. We're in a culture of busy, busy, and rest. And so we go a couple weeks, busy, busy. Then we need a vacation. Take a weekend getaway. We go to the cabin. We get back on Monday. I need another Monday. And then we're right back into the busyness. What would it be like if we had a balanced perspective to busyness and rest and tried to incorporate that in our daily routine? Instead of swinging from one side to the other. Now's the time to be busy. Now's the time to rest. Can we find a balanced approach to that? Material possessions. I give X amount in the offering on Sunday. That means I can have this and this. Is there a balanced perspective? These are questions I'm asking myself. Areas of imbalance. Let's count to 10. Let's think about being balanced. My prayer is that we would not be like Belshazzar, the writing on the wall. Remember what one of the words said? Daniel had to come and interpret for him. And he says, "Thou art weighed in the balanced and found wanting." Oh, may we not be found wanting. May we respond to things that come our way with grace and truth. May we stop and count to 10 and realize we need a balanced perspective. When we see imbalance, not to respond drastically with the other way, but respond with balance, grace, and truth. I trust that this morning we're seeing the need for balance. And what are we remembering? A response matters most. It's not easy to decipher what is always the most balanced approach to things that arise. But if we stop and think, meditate, Jesus will show us what is a balanced approach. Are we balanced or are we swinging from one side and then back to the next? It should be a pendulum swinging between grace and truth. Another quick alibi. Sometimes there is a place to respond with truth and to address our brothers, our sisters, and say, "This is what I see." But if we are doing it out of a spirit of, "I'm better than you," or "You're down there," that is not balanced. There needs to be truth. Sometimes we need to say things that hurt, but it should be with the perspective of, "This is what I see, and it hurts me to say this." That's a balanced approach to saying truth. In closing, I want to share personally what I'm dealing with right now. Imbalance is when somebody comes to me, problem at school, let's say, and says, "Hey, there's a problem with this." I right away tend to get defensive because I like to fix things and I like to be looking ahead and make sure things are taken care of. And when they come to me and say, "Hey, there's a problem," I right away get defensive and say, "Oh, yeah, well, there's a reason. I tried to fix it. It's your fault. You should have done it this way." A balanced response would be like, "Yeah, you're right. I'm going to try to fix that for you. I'm going to try to help you through this. I might have messed up in the past, but going forward, I'm going to make my best efforts." I tend to justify myself when people point out imbalances in my life. And that's something I want to work at. Remember, there's a need for balance. And what matters most? Our response. Let's say that together. Our response matters most. Our response matters most. Let's be balanced. Jesus has the answer. Be like Moses. Be like David in their balanced responses to things that came up. 2 Peter 3:17. He's laying out signs of the end times. He gets to the end. He says, "Ye therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you're not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." Jesus wants balanced, a balanced lifestyle, a balanced life. Let's go to Jesus to be stable, to be balanced. And remember, our response matters most. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a good God. We love you. This is why we're gathered here this morning. And we recognize that as humans, we have a tendency to swing from one side to the next. We tend to react to things that come up. But I pray that we would be a balanced people. When we are weighed in the balance, may we not be found wanting. May we look to you. May we count to 10. May we stop and think that our response to different circumstances matters most. May we look for a balanced approach to the busyness and rest of life, to justice and mercy. And most of all, in our Christian life, may we have a balance of truth and grace in our response to others and things that arise. Thank you for being a loving God and showing us, revealing to us what a balanced lifestyle is. Be with us. In your name we pray. Amen.